Well, as I shared with you, we are in a series called On Eagle's Wings. This is kind of a redo from a series that we had done back in 2013. We called How to Become an Eagle Christian. And again, all of these things are online, so any of these things I talked to you about from the past, you can find them on the website, all right, including my notes. We have discs and CDs and all that, CDs, DVDs, all that back there. That's always there for you to take if you need to get caught up. But we've been talking about the eagle specifically and how that bird is just so majestic, and it's a picture of who God is. And so many times the Bible references eagles and eagle wings. But also to understand that there are attributes of that bird that the Bible says we should incorporate into our lives. And that's why then over the last 2 weeks, those of you that were with us, we talked about the different birds in the church. We called it the Ornithological Society of God, the church. We talked about there's pigeons in church, there's chickens, there's crows, there's owls, there's pelicans, there's canaries. Two more? Peacock, thank you. There's the peacock in church. What is that? An owl. I did say owl. All these different kinds of birds. And I know that over the last few weeks that some of you, when you were talking to each other, were going, I don't know what kind of bird I am. Or what kind of bird are you? Now, I want to tell you, the chance are you're not just one kind of bird. As a matter of fact, we had talked about the fact that there are positive attributes to these birds and negatives. And it's the negative things that we want to be aware of, not so that we can see them in other people and point them out, but so that we make sure they're not a part of our lives. So we can see those things in us that need to change. Well, every living thing that God's created grows and hopefully matures. That's true about animals. It's true about plants. It's true about people. And it's in the same way that I want us to look this morning at what it means for a Christian over time to also grow and to mature. Now, some people mature very slowly. That's why I prayed this morning. Don't look at people around you at how they're acting and what they're doing. Just see what it is that God's doing in your life. But some people mature slowly. Others mature much more quickly. Most will desire to grow, but there are some that will not. As a matter of fact, they don't want to. Because let's face it, when you mature and get older, there's a higher level of responsibility that you also have to hold, right? That's for parents with your kids. You don't keep treating your kid like a five-year-old. As they grow, they get more responsibility. There's more things that they need to understand that they need to do. The fact that some people refuse to grow, though, is why we talked these last couple weeks about those birds. Because most of the characteristics negatively mean that people don't want to grow, that they don't want to change who they are. Because for a lot of people, the struggles that they continue to have and they continue to walk in almost becomes a point of identity for them. You know, they're kind of known for this particular thing. They need to deal with it, but they won't. You'll have to go back and listen to those if you're not sure what that's about. But this morning, I want to talk about an attribute of the eagle that is so important in their lives, and that's learning to fly. The eagle learning to fly. Now, an eagle starts out, you don't have to write this down, you may already know this, an eagle hatches from an egg. You all right with that? I just went, so if that ever comes up on Jeopardy, you know, you go, I want eagle birth for 600, and you're ready to answer, from an egg. Now, here's the thing that's interesting, though, about an eaglet. While it's developing and forming in that egg, as the beak begins to grow, it will develop what ornithologists call a tooth on the end of the beak. Now, it's not this kind of a tooth. It doesn't look like that. But there's a sharp edge to it that it will lose once it's born. But that tooth has a very specific purpose, because it's from that the bird, when it's time, will begin to peck at the shell to break it and to open it up again. Now, the worst thing in the world that can happen for that bird is that something or someone tries to help it to open the egg. When the parent birds see the egg moving and the chick is trying to break out, they don't try to help it. And if an egg is in captivity, the worst thing someone can do is to start to peel away the eggshell to help them to get out. Why? Because while that bird is pecking away, it is developing things that it needs in its life. It's developing strength. It's developing the ability to continue to work. It's developing a perseverance, if you will. And see, for that little chick, if something were to intervene before it learned how to do that, it wouldn't grow properly. And as a matter of fact, many times the bird will actually die. Well, see, the nest of a bird is a very important place for the eagle. These nests have been spotted over 10,000 feet in height, way up in the air. The nests can be enormous, some of them measuring between 6 and 10 feet in circumference, weighing as much as 4,000 pounds. Now, just to put that in perspective, 4,000 pounds is about the size of a full-grown rhinoceros. I don't know how many of you have seen a rhinoceros lately. Have you seen a rhinoceros lately? You're lying right to the preacher. You're looking at me right in it. You saw a live rhinoceros. Where? Huh? You actually were. You were in Africa, weren't you? It just. I should know better to talk to her, shouldn't I? Okay, she saw a real rhinoceros. Thank you for being here this morning. You are excellent. I appreciate that. Where was I? Oh, yeah, the nest. Really big. Really heavy. But you know what that nest does for those birds? It provides a place of security and safety for them. But you know, the bird doesn't stay there for its whole life. It doesn't remain in that nest. And as Christians, there are people in the church who never want to leave their nest. And that nest is different for a lot of people. I was talking to Diana about this. That, as I said, as people come and go out of a church, here at Remnant Life, I've had people that have come to me and said, you know, I feel like God wants me to go to a different church. Now, I can respond to that in one of a couple ways. Number one, I can get really upset and go, well, wait a minute. Does that mean there's something wrong with us? Well, no. No, it doesn't. Not at all. Does it mean that they're being obedient to what God wants them to do? See, that's what matters most to me. Sometimes people need to leave a nest. A church can become a nest for people. And if they don't leave, they won't grow to the next thing that God wants them to be. Well, you see, for an eagle, it is all about being prepared to leave the nest. And as that little hatchling is coming out, there's a perseverance that's being developed in it. It's the same kind of perseverance that we're supposed to have. A couple of verses for you. In the book of James, the first chapter, verses 2-4, here's what James writes. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." So James says the fact that you work through the difficult times means that perseverance is developed. And what does that do? It makes you mature in the things of the Lord. One other one. This is in Romans 5, the third to fifth verses. Paul's writing this. He says, "We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Church, we have said this before, but it's so important to understand as a Christian. Difficulties, trials, even suffering does not mean necessarily that there's a sin issue in your life or in someone else's that needs to be dealt with. God may be very well allowing you to work through some very difficult times in order for you to develop a perseverance. And what is that perseverance for us? It's our faith in Him. That's our perseverance. When things are going on that are just such a struggle, I'm having such a hard time with this. I don't have a deeper reliance on myself. My reliance is in Him. And so as you're working through those difficult times, can I encourage you something this morning? Don't be in such a hurry to get out of what it is that you're walking through. You go, Pastor Dave, wait a minute. I'm supposed to go, this is fine. I like doing this. No, it's not that. But what it is understanding that there's purpose in everything that God does. In Romans 5 that we just read, that word for suffering is actually from the Greek. It's thalipsis. And that word in the original language means that there's a pressure, but that it is a pressure against our hearts and against our spirits. So difficulties are not necessarily physical things. Maybe you've got an issue with a loved one right now. Maybe you're at odds with somebody in your life. Maybe there's something that you and that person that's so important, you just can't seem to get on the same page. There's purpose in that. Learning how to love one another. Learning how to walk through those things in a way that when we come out on the other side, it isn't that we're now, God, I can't believe that. No, it's an understanding. I still love this person. I want to be right with them. We need to come to an understanding. That's one of the examples of perseverance. As that bird continues to grow, about 9 to 10 weeks, this bird has increased tremendously in size, from a chick to a bird that's ready to leave the nest. And about that time, the bird starts hopping around the nest. It'll flutter its wings a little bit, checking these things out. What are these things for? They're mostly in the way. I'm sure there's some purpose for them. I don't know if that's what they actually say, but that's what my thinking is. But here's what the mother and father birds will do. They have been observed when the bird is about that size, that when they come back with food for the young one, that rather than flying up and lighting directly onto the nest, they will come up and they will hover over the nest. Now, not like a hummingbird, but they'll sort of move around the nest in a way so that the young bird can watch and see them. You know what they're doing? They're demonstrating. They're teaching that young bird what it looks like to fly. Because there's a time coming when that bird's going to have that knowledge. But it can't start without them understanding the basics of how it's supposed to work. Yeah, it's true for our children as well. Those of you that were here a few weeks ago, you got a chance to meet my grandson, Miles. And it's been tremendous watching him go through all of those stages that little ones go through as they get ready to learn how to walk. Because you know, a child doesn't just stand up and start walking. It comes in stages. They have to creep first, which is understanding how just to move themselves along. Then they go to crawling, hands and knees, or different variations. I saw this one kid. He pushed with one leg. It's kind of strange. It's hard to do. It hurt myself when I did that just then. But then they start to crawl. And after they crawl, then they learn what it means to be able to stand. And to be able to get upright, not by themselves. They're always holding on to something, and they're working their way along a couch or a chair or a piece of furniture. But then comes that moment when they let go, and they're standing on their own, and they'll take one or two steps, and boom, down they go. They'll stand back up again and start walking, and boom, down again they'll go. But see, that's also true for Christians. What it means to grow as a Christian. You don't stand up and start running. You don't suddenly receive all this knowledge and information from the Word that are the difficult things to try to grasp, questions that are hard to answer. Paul the Apostle talks about this. He says in 1 Corinthians 3:2, he said, I've been teaching you, giving you the milk of the Word. You seen that? What does that mean? He said, I'm giving you easy things to understand. I'm giving you the basics of what it means to be a Christian. But it gets harder than that. And we should want to progress, like Paul said, to understanding the meat of God's Word. And so to grow in the things of God means that I have to want and desire in my heart to step out of the nest, to be willing to embrace those things and say, God, I'm going through a really hard time right now, but you know what? There's some meat in what I understand, and so I'm not going to bail on you, Lord. I'm not suddenly going to begin acting in a different way. I'm not going to allow my anger to take control of me. I'm not going to allow jealousy to come in. I'm not going to allow myself to want vengeance on someone because of what they did to me. I want the meat of God's Word that in my love for the people around me, it's developing a perseverance that says, God, I want to act in a way that brings glory and honor to you. See, that's what it means to grow as a man and as a woman of God. There are examples in the Bible of some very famous people that you know that had very difficult jobs that they were going to be given to do, but God allowed them to learn how to walk before he had them learn to fly. He taught them how to deal with things that were a little bit easier before he gave them the really difficult things to do. I think of someone like David. David was a shepherd. And we read this story in 1 Samuel 17. Before David even became king, he was still a boy, but he was a shepherd. And he came and he was at the battle where his brothers were all fighting. And they were having a problem because they were fighting against the Philistines. And what had happened was is that the nation of Israel was on one side. There was the Valley of Elah in the middle, and the Philistines were all lined up on the other side. Nobody was doing anything. They were just kind of looking, taunting each other. Well, the Philistines started to send out a guy, one guy. It wasn't just one guy. He was special because he was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. The armor he wore was 125 pounds. Those of you that lift weights at all, 25 pounds was what was at the end of his spear. The head of the spear was 25 pounds, and he would use that to throw at people. So Goliath was coming out 2 times a day during the time the Israelites prayed in the morning and when they prayed in the evening, and he'd start screaming insults at them. Well, you know what happened. David came along, and David said, why are we listening to this big clown out there? That's the Hebrew word, clown, I think. I'm pretty sure it's what I saw anyway. Why is this clown out here allowed to yell at us like this? And you know that David eventually killed Goliath with a sling. But prior to that, he told Saul, I want you to know something. He said, when I was taking care of my dad's sheep, a lion came, tried to get my sheep. I killed the lion. A bear came, tried to take my sheep. I killed that bear. God was preparing David to go from a lion and a bear to a 9-foot-tall soldier that he was going to have to fight. But you know what else made that different? If David hadn't killed the lion and the bear, he'd have lost some sheep. If he had lost to Goliath, the entire nation of Israel would have been the servants of the Philistines. The stakes were raised. God was getting David ready. Moses lived to be 120 years old. He had 3 sets of 40 in his life. First 40 years of Moses' life, he was in Egypt, learning to be a prince. The second 40 years of his life, he was a shepherd in Midian. The last 40 years of his life, he was leading the nation of Israel through the desert to get to the promised land. Well, that 40 years that he was in Midian, you know what he was? He was a shepherd. He was learning how to herd sheep because God was about to give him a nation of over 2 million people that he was going to have to herd like those sheep and take them through the desert. I guarantee you there were times Moses probably sat down and went, man, you know what? Those sheep were a lot easier to handle than these people were. But God was getting them ready. And then you know, my favorite guy in all the Bible, outside of Jesus, Joseph. God prepared him for what he was going to do too. Joseph was, as you know, sold into slavery by his brothers, ends up in the house of Potiphar, who was an Egyptian. And Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his entire house because the Bible tells us that whatever Joseph put his hand to, God prospered. You remember, Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph of attacking her. He gets sent to prison. While he's in prison, the head of the prison puts him in charge of everything because God said he was blessed. And so Joseph is taking care of Potiphar's house. He's taking care of all of that prison. And then you know the story. Eventually, God promoted Joseph till he was overseeing all of Egypt. He never could have done that if God had not prepared him. My point in all of this, church, is I want to encourage you, whatever it is you're in right now, God is going to use that preparing you for what he has for your life. As I look back over the course of my life, as I've come here to now, being the pastor of Remnant Life Church, there are certainly things in my life that I can very easily point to and say, God was using that and that and that and that, preparing me for this moment. Now, God may not be preparing you to be in ministry, but wherever it is that he's going to take you, he's preparing you right now. An eagle can't fly until it learns how, until it sees what it needs to do. But now comes that moment. The eagle's getting ready to fly for the first time. Here's how that works. It's funny. I think it's funny. The mother eagle will begin nudging the bird towards the edge of the nest. Now, don't forget, these things are way up. These birds are not stupid. So the eaglet has two options. He can either go over the edge willingly, or he can get thrown out. Either one works. You see, in those moments, when God is calling us to move, we can go willingly, or we can go at the hand of God. I'll tell you, church, there's been times when I would much have preferred to have gotten it first and gone my own. Because God's hand is loving, it's kind, it's not always gentle. I've needed sometimes for God to crack me upside the head to get me to move and to do what it was He wants me to do. But see, I would much rather, like that bird, come to the edge of the nest and just trust. Because you know what that bird's got to do? It's got to jump. It's got to leave the nest. Now, here's the great thing about the eagle, mom or dad. They don't ever abandon their kid. They don't sit there at the top of the nets and go, try to remember to flap your wings. Oh, that's a shame. Ooh. Is there another one back here we got? No, the eagle won't do that. The mother will fly with the bird as it's falling, as it's fluttering, as it's trying its best. And what we learned is that as that bird, if it's not going to get it, the mother will come in and allow the eagle to land on its wings. Take them back up. Put them back in the nest. But you know what the mother eagle does? It doesn't say, oh, that was a good try. Well, we'll figure something else out. No, you know what the mom does next? Kicks it out again. Let's try that again. And as many times as it will take for that eaglet to learn how to fly, that mother will make sure that the opportunity is given. Why? Because if the eagle doesn't learn to fly, what happens? It'll die. Because without flying, an eagle can't hunt. Without flying, it never becomes mature. Without flying, it never finds a mate. Without flying, it'll get locked in that nest and never grow beyond that time. You know, in Deuteronomy 32, this picture is painted for us very vividly. Deuteronomy 32 is called the Song of Moses. It's not long before Moses is going to die. And God speaks words to Moses, and Moses begins to write these things down, and he gives a history of all of the things that God has done. But in the 32nd chapter, the 11th verse, here's what he writes. He says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carry them aloft. See, that's a picture of God's love for us this morning. To catch you, to carry you aloft. You say, Pastor Dave, I don't always feel like that God's catching me. As a matter of fact, sometimes I feel like I have slammed into the ground. Well, yeah, that's going to happen from time to time. I have discovered in my own life, admittedly, that most times when I slam into the ground, it's because it's something that I have done to make that happen. God's way can be difficult, but it's always restorative. There's always hope. There's always knowing that you're in a place where God is with you. It's those times when we turn away from Him that sense of abandonment and that sense of loneliness comes. I've told you this many times. When we feel distant from God, guess who moved? It wasn't Him. We're the ones. And so that eagle learns, sometimes in a very difficult way, what it needs to do to be able to fly. So the mother watches the bird go. I don't know that it's ever been recorded that an eagle got it right the first time because they're learning. I mean, there's a sense of panic that's probably, do birds panic? I would panic. If I was being thrown out of my nest, I would not be feeling good about that. But the bird, they say this, keeps bringing it back up, puts it on the nest, try it again, until finally the eagle begins to fly. And you see, once an eagle reaches adulthood, it doesn't stay in that same nest. It goes off and makes its own. And see, for many Christians, I think we need to be more like parents. I remember my mother saying this. As I got older and I would go back to visit my mom, which I still do. I'm a mama's boy. I know, card carrying. I have like a membership card. Mama's boy. I'm a mama's boy. But I would always ask her about the times when my brothers and I were growing up and when we were leaving the house, what that was like. And I remember my mother always saying the same thing to me. She said, David, she said, it was always hard when you guys left. But she said, that's what I was getting you ready to do. That was my job as a mom, was to get you ready to go. And see, that's what a mother eagle does, is that it's preparing its young to be able to leave the nest. But with that comes a responsibility for us to grow and to desire to move on, to move beyond those things that become familiar. Because let's face it, when you're growing up in your home, everything's familiar. You know where everything's at. This is comfortable. It's my comfort zone. When you leave the house for the first time, those of you that can remember, it's a little unnerving for a while. You don't know where stuff is. This isn't normal. This isn't natural. When that eagle is plummeting down to the ground, that's not normal. It's not natural. But God's presence is there. And see, this is why I encourage you as Christians to be willing to embrace the concept that there are some things in my life that I just need to grow up about. I just need to grow up about it. I need to stop acting like a child. I need to stop complaining about things. I need to stop pointing my finger at other people to blame them for things. I think many of you know this. I was a school teacher for 8 years early on in my professional career after I graduated from Messiah U Tech. School teacher. This is back in the 80s. Now, things were beginning to change then, but they're not as bad as they are now. And when I say bad, here's what I mean. When a kid acted up in class, if you called the parent, the kid was not only in trouble with you, but they were going to get it worse when they got home. How many of you about my age, you know that that's how that was. When you went home, you were in a lot more trouble than what happened at school. It's changed. It's not that way anymore. Back when I was teaching, there were some kids that I struggled with. I was teaching elementary kids, so I was like 4 times their size, which was great. That's a great way to teach. You got to always be bigger than the kid. That's always wonderful. But the problems when I would contact the homes, many times I would get called in by the parents, and basically the question was, what did you do to provoke my child to act this way? That's what we get asked. Today, it's even worse. Today, parents, I mean, it's the school's fault if there's a problem with the child. Well, see, as Christians, we cannot live that way. When there's a sin issue in my life, it's not someone else's fault. It's not the way I was raised. It's not that boss that I have that because I'm acting this way. It's me. It's me. That's what it means to be maturing as a man or a woman of God, that I don't like to point my finger at other people, that I accept that I own what it is, that I recognize my weaknesses and say, God, I don't want to be this way. It means that I'll need to go to someone else and apologize first, not wait on them. It means I may need to go and say, you know, I really messed this up. Can you help me how to learn to do this better? You say, well, Pastor Dave, what are they going to think of me? Does that really matter the most? Is that what's most important to your thinking? What are other people going to think of me? See, that's a baby eagle. And see, I want us here at Remnant Life Church to be a church filled with people that are growing in the things of the Lord. And not just growing by way of learning what the Bible says. That's obviously critically important. We need to know God's word. But you've heard me say this probably since you first met me. It does no good if you know this and you don't live it. I'll say that again. It is of no value if you know the word of God but don't live it. And see, that's what it means to be a growing Christian. That's what it means to be an eaglet, becoming an eagle, someone that flies in the face of those things. That I'm not always going to get grounded. I'm not going to allow those things to keep me from being who it is that God has called me to be. Here's the last thing. The mother eagle will work with that chick, with that young one, as long as she needs to. There's no time frame involved. Bird gets it on the 3rd flight, way to go, see ya. Takes 50 flights to get it. The mom will stay there. The mom will work with that bird. Can I tell you this morning that your Heavenly Father will never give up on you? Never. You say, Pastor Dave, I've been dealing with this thing in my life almost as long as I can remember, years and years and years. Do you know God is still there? God still wants to help you to walk through that. God still wants to see that change take place in your life. It is never too late to know the presence and the love of God to bring change into your heart and into your life. Exodus 19:4, and with this I'm done. God confirms that to his people. They're in the desert right now, and Moses is talking to them on God's behalf, and he says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." The power of God to do whatever it is that needs to be done. But here's the last thing. God's there to guard and protect, but you still must learn how to fly. When you do that, church, I can promise you, God will take you places in your life to his glory and to his honor in a way that will allow you to be able to experience all of the things that God's called you to be, all the things that he's been preparing you for. He'll be able to do that in you because you did what you were supposed to do. You used that tooth to break out of that shell. The perseverance is there. The strength is there. You jumped out of the nest when it was time, trusting that God was going to be there. It's one of my favorite verses. He will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. Church, that's a truth that you can hold in your heart no matter what the circumstances are. Bow your heads with me. Well, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for these truths this morning, the truth of who you are. I thank you, God, that you give us this great example of this majestic bird, to know, God, that even in nature and the things that you created, we can see those examples, and you so graciously give them to us that we can observe and we can watch and we can learn what it means to be your child. And so, God, I pray your blessing over each and every person here today, every person listening and watching. I pray, God, that they would come to you unashamedly, unreserved, to know, God, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, you're always there with us. And God, it's in those times of the struggle, it's in those times that we're having to fight through some things that that perseverance is being developed. But God, knowing it's not of my own strength in this, it's because of your presence in my life. So I pray you go with each and every one, keep them safe as they travel, as they go about the things of this week. And again, Father, every opportunity that we are given, may we show Jesus Christ in our lives by the way that we speak, the things that we do, all to bring glory and honor to you. I pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.